Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday. Love is not a matter of getting what you want. Quite the contrary. The insistence on always having what you want or always being satisfied, on always being fulfilled, makes love impossible. Perhaps in this mystery of life we're engaged in, we could modify the expression chercher la femme to chercher le ego. In a sexist world, the woman is always to blame. In the world of expanding awareness, there's no blame. And when it comes to suffering, ego, when it comes to suffering, ego is the first, best place to look for the cause. At center, we have what we want. We are satisfied and fulfilled. Even with a lack of what we want, of satisfaction and of fulfillment, and we live in love. But the ego is an attempt to exist outside life's love. Today, find the moments in which you can drop ego's demands, choose love, and realize love is all you truly want. Record and listen. So, let's hear from our first caller. You are now live on the air.
Hi.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, it's Anne from England.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I literally just pressed *6. I missed the very first few seconds. How are you guys?
Great, great.
Can you hear me okay?
What are you seeing?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
It's perfect. It's like you're next door.
Good.
What are you seeing about love?
Oh, good, good. Oh, my goodness. I have tried to spend the day in self-love, and it's really, really helping because ego has been trying to get at me a lot. And I made a decision a few weeks ago to get an awareness coach, and it's really helped me massively because I thought, well, what can I do? I've been kind of working on it for a few weeks, really looking at self-hate and how I can do the opposite and really cherish myself and treasure myself, as you've been saying, Sherry, and getting to the awareness coach has really helped massively. And it's been a lovely day. It's really sunny here in England.
Oh, good, good.
Sunny, and we've had a few days of sadness. I'm sure you've heard our news.
We've been sad right along with you.
Yeah, it's been really sad because that's where I work, and our school was evacuated today, and trying to keep calm in that environment and making sure our kids felt safe and that we felt safe. I found the practice has really helped, just really, really helped. And,
it's all of that stuff that we talk about all the time, and really, as the privileged people that we all are, we rarely have it so in our faces that literally you do not know if 1 second from now your whole world is going to be blown up.
No, sure, you don't. And that's like when I walked into school this morning, it was just covered with police officers with armed guns, you know, and it was just like shocking because it's been a few days of being like that. But somehow I was okay, you know, I was able to be calm and just say this will be okay, and just making sure the students were okay and getting them home and getting them away safely and stuff.
It's such a good reminder. I mean, we wish that of course we wish that we didn't need these kinds of reminders, right? Because the fact of our own death could be plenty to keep us focused on the importance of choosing unconditional love in every moment.
Yes, yes.
But somehow we lose sight of that.
And we do, and
I don't need to pay attention to this moment because it's just one of a billion moments that I'm going to have. And then something like this happens, and everybody just kind of wakes up all at once and goes,
You're right,
anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything can happen, and choosing love and not choosing to go into hate, you know, just really focusing on love and, well, what can I do to help in this moment, you know, rather than thinking, oh, this is terrible, and going into panic, and just where can I show the love, how can I, you know, make sure that people feel loved, and there's been a lot of brave people in Manchester and a lot of big community spirit and a lot of support from the rest of them.
I was listening to a couple of folks yesterday talk about it, and that was the point that they made, that they really wanted to emphasize, is, yes, this one person or this small handful of people did this hideous thing to strangers. You know, not even hideous things to somebody that you know and have a grudge or a gripe against, but strangers and children. And the point that they were making was, let's not lose sight of the fact that huge numbers of people rushed in to help total strangers when they had no way of knowing that they weren't next. That the second bomb wasn't going to go off, and yet they still rushed in to help strangers. That's the thing we want to
focus on.
Focus on it keep choosing love. That's what we've got to do. Keep choosing love no matter what.
Exactly. And looking at it, and not going into hate that, or how could someone do that? I don't know, for me, I'm not saying I would do that to someone, but I recognize that ego in myself and that I don't want to project out, well, that person is evil, or, you know, it's just really sad that that person had to do that. That makes me sad, you know?
Yes, and the point that you're making that's so critical for all of us is that if we choose hate in these circumstances, then we're in exactly the same place. So if I'm hating the person who did something out of hate, well, that makes two of us. It's just that's how everybody got there, right? Not being able to choose love at that critical juncture, and we want to make sure that when we're there, we're making the choice that we really want to make.
Exactly, and on your day-to-day, you know, when self-hate is getting at you, and that's difficult, even with all this amazing practice, how much more difficult must it be for people who are brought up in hate? It's so far down the line you can't even imagine, but it's important to know that it's the same place.
Yes.
It's actually the same place. It's just different outcomes.
You bring up a really important point, again, for us all to remember, that we didn't grow up in that environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still difficult for us.
Exactly, yeah.
The poor child who grew up in an environment of hatred and violence, to expect that person to be able to do what we can't do?
Exactly, it's really amazing, but... you was telling me not to ring in, but I just wanted to ring and say hi, I'm here, and that, you know, I'm really grateful and full of gratitude, and even though when it's difficult. Oh, actually, I saw something this week, or read something this week that said karma is there so we can accept and love ourselves unconditionally. And that really came home to me. It made me think, well, what situation can you give unconditional love? Well, actually, every situation, because there's no other alternative that's worth thinking about or going into. So, yeah.
All a gift, isn't it? It's all a gift.
All a gift.
Help us
wake up.
Yep. Be the difference.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to
hear from you.
And,
no, you're okay.
Go happy. Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy. Bye bye. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye bye.
Thanks, Anne. I just love that we can say go happy, even in these circumstances, right?
Yes.
Sherry, because the signal to that is really that choice of choosing love, not hate. It goes back to the assignment from yesterday or the day before, which is if you give everything over to the moment, to the present, and there's nothing for me, for nothing for ego, that is love.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Circle with no remainder. There's nothing left over. It's just this. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Judy from San Francisco.
Hello, hey, Judy.
Hi. I wanted to practice what several people have done, which is to just get in the queue.
Uh-huh.
And press star six, yep.
Uh-huh. And just watch.
Yeah, it reminds me of an analogy of going to a pool party but not jumping into the pool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and
I got my
a
bathing
folks,
suit
going
on.
To a, yeah, for a lot of folks, they don't even get into their bathing suit, right? So as we know, that's the first step, right? Get that suit on and get somewhere near the water. And then we get to the point of, time to jump in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very nice to be able to do that because some days I'm not able to do that because I'm on the bus commuting.
Uh-huh.
And it's very loud, so I choose not to do it because it's just it would be too distracting and nobody would be able to hear me. But when I can do it, to press star six.
Uh-huh. So you're able to listen, even though it's really noisy, but to try to, unmute and talk would be difficult. Yeah. For all of us, it sounds like.
Yes.
An act of compassion for all of us.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what's been going on? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
so
what's been going on?
Practicing with there's no self and other.
Uh-huh.
And it's really neat because I watch the projections go out, and then I remember there's no self and other, and bring it back. And all kinds of experiences, like projections and wanting to take care of people and wanting to offer advice or all sorts and turning it around and saying,
this is all me.
What is this? Yeah, this person needs taken care of and this person needs advice and rescuing. Fantastic.
Yeah, and what's that like? Do you feel then kind of seen and cared for and acknowledged and that sort of thing as compared to giving it away?
More relaxed, actually. There's less anxiety about going out and...
Yeah, less to do.
Yes, for sure. And I also feel that we're all adequate. I feel reassured that we're all okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because if I project that you need something, then I'm going to have to meet that need. Or not, and feel bad about it. But it's very busy, right?
Yes.
And it does. It perpetuates the belief that somebody's not adequate, and therefore I need to, and big responsibility, and all of those kinds of things. And when we drop that and just say, okay, well, I'm projecting this, so what do I need right now? Mm-hmm. Then I come back here, and now my needs are met, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very relaxing. And I know that everybody is okay and working out their own salvation at their particular clip. And good. We're fine. Now I can just chill.
And yes, from that place of relaxing, there's just so much more to choose from. There's so much more potential and available.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly so. Yeah. So what we're concluding, I would say, in summation, this here now is really the place to live.
Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. it takes takes care of everything. Mm-hmm. You, me, everybody, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great summation. I wonder who thought that up. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's very good. All right.
Now.
Well, thank you. No
thank
self
you.
And other. That's a good one. We can mm-hmm. All practice that today as well. And mm-hmm. you know, with our conversation with Anne, you know, some days are easier than others to
mm-hmm.
practice that.
Sure, sure.
And yeah, and then to bring everything, to practice bringing everything into that realization. Everything. Everything.
Everything.
And not to be confused about what that means in terms of our role.
Mm. Yes, that's very subtle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Wow.
Well,
thank
you. Another great day. Thank you, mm-hmm. Judy.
Thanks, Judy. It dropped in while you were talking about that. The quote for today about wanting, or yesterday, that wanting makes love impossible. And it's just that sense of separation is wanting. Right, wanting for the other person to be okay or to be taken care of. And that when we move back from that separation to that sense of doing that for ourselves and are fulfilled, that's when we can actually truly be love and offer love.
Yes, an offering that is not a doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
mm-hmm.
that's what you're
mm-hmm.
pointing at. I can give, and it's not a doing. Because, of course, there's no I giving. It's just a
mm-hmm.
presence. But, yeah. That's the language we would use to try to describe something that is really quite difficult to describe and readily recognizable when we experience it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Alicia in Seattle.
Hi,
hey, Alicia.
Alicia.
Hello. So these last two calls, yeah, they've been really great. Almost. So what happened yesterday in the morning, just a little content, my husband's kind of struggling with his job. He's a little bit unhappy, and he woke up. He was kind of cranky in the morning, and I just snapped at him about being cranky. Just quit your job if you're cranky. You know that. And I got the quote.
because Alicia, being cranky with somebody who's cranky is
yeah,
it's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's kind of knee-jerk, isn't it? And then we go, now, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, I just, well, anyway, yes, I just absorb it all and then, you know, we become it, I guess. But I read this, you know, reading the assignment, it's just so, you know, love is not getting what you want, you know, and these last two, now I don't have an articulate way to kind of ask what I want to ask. It's like, it is this, these last two calls have talked about this, you know, this stepping back. And what I can see is, I guess I had, there was some need I had right now for him to, or in that moment to stop, you know, just stop being who you are and where you are. And to even relate with that, I mean, this is such a tiny thing. Of course, the magnitude doesn't even relate, but the about what happened in England, about how my own, you know, my own kind of sort of feelings of violence or hatred, the thing, you know, I don't want this happening right now, and I'm going to react to it right now. How easy it is to get into that moment. And then, of course, you know, you get the support and you back out of it. And it's just, I guess, interesting to see certainly the suffering it created for me. And I sort of project for my husband, too, although we, after practicing with it all day, we worked it out by the evening. But, yeah, it's just interesting.
Well, to me, what you're pointing at that's so helpful is it's a scale. We're looking at it on a scale, right? So from conditioning's perspective, you snapping at your husband and somebody blowing up a bunch of people, you know, come on. What do those have to do with each other? But what you're looking at is it's a continuum, mm-hmm. right? That it's that same impulse of you are not being the way I want you to be. The way you are is affecting me. The only way for me not to be affected is to do something about you.
Right.
That's a process in both cases, right? And so, yes. Now, if we get back to you and your husband, which is a much more manageable, we could say, way of breaking it down, when you are in a place of realizing that he, like you, he is working out his own salvation diligently. And because diligently, you know, sometimes I just did, in fact, alter that. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like we or perhaps someone we love is being as diligent as we think they should be in working out their own salvation. But we are. We all are. I'm convinced of that. And so when you realize that he is adequate to his experience, and he is doing what he needs to do right now in order to work through what he's working through and see what he's seeing and get to where he's getting and all of that. When you know that for yourself, then his crankiness is not going to affect you.
Right.
Yeah? Which is what we're going for, right? Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But as long as how he is going to determine how I am, then I really need to take control of his behavior. And, of course, as we heard, I think it was last week, somebody did told a beautiful story of it. What we've been convinced to believe is the way to get somebody to do the right thing is to punish them. It's what we learned as children.
Right.
So if you punish him, then he'll straighten up and realize that he's being the wrong person, and he'll stop being cranky. And then you'll be happy. That's how conditioning lays it out for us.
Right, and it is so ugly. I mean, the experience itself, you know, feels bad on a sensation level. I mean, it's just an ugliness there. And I really, it really resonates with me, this kind of the condescension that it takes for me to think I know what's best for him or where he should be
it's so creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so awful. That's how we know we've been taken over.
Right.
Right, because, I mean, to treat somebody you love in that sort of disrespectful, dismissing, almost parent-child way,
right.
It's like, that's not me. That's not my heart. I'm sorry. Something else just took over my mouth and said those things.
Yes, and I mean, he's someone I really love. I mean, I guess I don't, but it's just, you know, to say, and that I respect and all of these things. And yet still, you know, you find yourself in those moments. of like, wow, even here, you know. So anyway, it was great to see, and this practice was very supportive, particularly for yesterday.
Well, this that's the thing about this, and what makes it such great awareness practice, because there are no circumstances that ego will not attempt to step in and run its stuff on. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. And that's why we have to really get it, that it is not who we are.
Right.
It's an add-on. And it's an add-on that we have welcomed and, you know, but made a place for at the table and have been serving probably for a long time. But it's still important for us to realize it is not who we are. It is not what we are. And our job in practice is to cut off its access. And the way that we cut off its access is to choose love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so helpful, and it really is that moment by moment, you know, and it's great. It's just such a wonderful option.
It is, and moment by moment, yeah. So away we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
take care.
Lisa.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to try to bring someone else on the call, Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What are you seeing?
Oh, well, a couple of things. One, I put myself in the queue along with many people just to feel the difference of being more involved. And
feel that life force just like that?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's great. And it feels really good to be on the call. And actually, part of the reason I did that is yesterday's assignment was so helpful to me because I had gotten to a place. It wasn't like it didn't feel like anything big had happened or anything horrible was going on, but I had sort of just slipped away from doing the practices, and I was just feeling more grumpy and just seeing that I wasn't in that centered place of love, but it had just gotten so slowly chipped away that I just hadn't quite been able to see what was going on yet.
Kate, may I stop you right here? Because I just
sure.
want to underline that for everybody. That what you have just described is a giant step toward having the life that we want to realize, because that's how it happens. It's slow, right? It's not like you're going along full of love and then you just step into a pit of hate. That rarely happens, right? It's that slow chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And then what you did is to realize, wait a minute, there's something... Right? That's the
yes.
key, to be able to realize when we're identified rather than just believing it, feeling bad, going along with it. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's great to hear you say that, because what I realized is I've gotten more practiced at recognizing, like, when I'm really triggered and it goes into a pretty, you know, a pretty deeply conditioned place, and you know you're kind of gone, and then it's easier to come back. And this, it was that sort of eroding of that center space, but I didn't feel so off. But I started seeing that, like, I wasn't, like, the recording had slipped away, and it wasn't even totally in my awareness. And then as it starts to come back, it was interesting because I didn't see... I just lost that train of thought, but it wasn't, there's like a moment where you sort of know something's going on, but like it didn't drop in for me to do the things necessarily right away that would that I knew would bring me back. And so it was sort of that interesting area of exploring that uncomfortable space of
slightly off. And that's what you're exploring now. And before long, you're going to get to a place of, I'm grumpy. Where's the recorder?
Yes.
Right. That's what's going to come together, because you've realized, I don't feel like myself. I am not a happy person. I used to be a happy person. What the heck? But we're trained to still look to conditioned mind to explain to us what's wrong. Right? And then we move toward, I don't need to look to conditioned mind to find out what's wrong with me. Where's the recorder?
Yeah, that's so great, because conditioned mind had, and the ideas that conditioned mind had for what to do to make yourself feel better are so opposite of what, of going to the recorder and coming back to the heart.
Yeah, get a cup of coffee and have a brownie.
Yeah.
Or how about a glass of wine or two? Or see if there are any good movies on that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Or even call. Why don't you call your mom right now? It's like, I'd rather call my mom when I'm feeling connected with my heart than when I'm feeling like she's going to help me do that.
There you go. Oh, this is so important. This is really good stuff. It just occurred to me, I'll talk to Ashwini about this later, you know, that literally it would be possible for us to chart a course from completely unconscious to fully right here. And what you're talking about is just a really important piece on that path, that realizing that I'm off and watching what conditioning offers to get back, and then moving to that place of, nope, that's not going to take care of me. I need to get back to practice. And realizing in that shift, you're actually already back. So thank you for
that.
That's
very comforting. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Go happy. I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate.
Bye-bye.
It's amazing to me, Sherry, how each of these conversations keeps coming back to the assignment. And I suppose that isn't surprising, because that's what our focus is. And in that little exchange, it was laid out so clearly, I'm off. And conditioning says, well, I want not to be off, so let's work out how not to be off. And then we're off in the conditioned process of wanting it to be different than it is, rather than just picking up the recorder and getting back to love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it?
It truly is.
And we're seeing it.
Yes. 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 And so that I love what you always encourage us to do, to have awareness, to explore the dark room in awareness. Because we do want to know when we're there. And
yes,
then we
and
practice.
Exactly, yeah. Go ahead.
And then we practice creating the exit ramp. So I'm here, instead of going into it further and having the awareness collapse, I want to expand the awareness so I know how to get out of it. And it is a step-by-step process.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me, I know we got to go, so I'll talk really fast, okay? But lately, I've been sleeping in a lot of different places. There's that moment of waking up in a strange place, and where is everything? Right? So where is the light switch? Where is the, right? And that's a very good, to me, good example of this. So I wake up, I come to, I'm grumpy, I'm grouchy, I'm, you know, snapping at the person I love best, I'm whatever it is. And this is, I'm in a dark place. Okay, where's the light switch? And within a split second, we know where it is, and we can just reach out and flip that switch. It's called turning on the recorder.
And to pay really close attention and be present right through that, because the moment you recognize the light switch is when you're going to get talked out of switching it on. So the training process to get there and switch it on.
And leave it on.
Yes. All right. So
great.
Here's our
All right. What's
today.
Next?
The deepest
what's now? Thank you.
The deepest craving of human nature is the need to be appreciated. What does to be appreciated mean? To be seen, valued, acknowledged, recognized, admired, respected. I so appreciate your contribution, your participation, your presence, your being. This way, this explains why ego works so hard to convince people that you don't belong, and why practice constantly reminds us it takes all of us. When we drop ego's no and allow ourselves to be embraced by life, that deep craving to appreciate and to be appreciated is fulfilled. Today, step into life's embracing yes. Let yourself feel life's appreciation for its expression, you, and feel how appreciation just naturally extends to all. Record and listen.
Mm. Wow, that was wonderful just hearing it. I went there. Excuse me, I got to go. I have to go do some recording.
Yes, me too. Well, we'll see.
Sorry.
I bet everyone else does too. So take care, everybody, and talk to you tomorrow.
Take care. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.